I've traveled a long way, and I would absolutely regret it if I've traveled all this way and did not preach to the lost soul. Eternity is on the line. Heaven is real and hell is real. And one day we're going to close our eyes in death, and we're going to open our eyes either in glory or we're going to open our eyes, the Bible says, in fire. Where the worm dieth not and where the fire is not quenched. You know, Jesus spoke more on hell and judgment than anything else he spoke on in the Bible. 13% of what Jesus spoke on was hell and judgment, because he wanted to warn every man everywhere that death is coming, that hell is real. And if you do not give your life, your soul, your heart to Jesus Christ, if you're not born again, you will open your eyes in hell. As I begin to think about this message, I begin to think of a great tragedy that we find in the Bible. You know, the Bible reader would not be able to deny that there's been some tragic events recorded in the Scripture. My mind goes back to the fall of man in the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, the book of origin. That was a very tragic event. My mind then races back to when Cain killed Abel, a very tragic event. I thought about Pharaoh and then Herod years later killing all of those babies and how tragic it was, and probably the screams and the cries of mothers and siblings and daddies must have been a horrible event. When David had Uriah killed because of his sin with Bathsheba, that was a tragic event. When John, the great man of God, Jesus said there was no man born of woman greater than John, the forerunner to Christ, the man that had the spirit of Elijah upon him, the one voice crying in the wilderness, making the way straight for the Son of God. When he was beheaded, it had to be a tragic event. When Jesus Christ was killed 2,000 years ago, right outside the walls of the old city of Jerusalem, there on Golgotha's hill, when the Son of God was nailed to that cross and the sins of the world was placed upon him. What a gruesome and gory event it must have been. And thinking from the mind of the disciples, how tragic that must have been. When the great deacon Stephen got stoned, tragic event in the Bible. Yet to me, the most tragic event found in Scripture is found in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 8 and verse number 10. When the Bible says, "And I saw the wicked buried who had come and gone from the place of the holy." When the writer of Ecclesiastes says, "When I have seen the wicked be buried, and yet they had come up and went down from the most holy place." People who had been in the presence of God, people who had seen the work of God, people who had heard the voices of the men of God, yet were buried and had never been transformed, and in hell they opened their eyes. Jesus said it like this in Matthew chapter number 7, verse 22. He recorded this tragedy like this: "In that day many will say unto me, Lord, Lord, in thy name did I not prophesy? In thy name, O Lord, did I not cast out devils? In thy name did I not do many wonderful works?" And Jesus is going to say, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you." Tonight I want to preach to you this thought that we're going to find in the book of John chapter number 3. If you want to go ahead and flip over there, you can. John chapter number 3. I want to preach to you on this thought: religious but lost. I believe we have people sitting in our churches in a congregation this size. Now, there's hundreds of people here. There is no doubt in my mind there is somebody on a Wednesday night here at Church of the Open Door in Westminster, Maryland. There is somebody tonight that is religious. There is somebody tonight that is a good person. There is somebody tonight that brought their Bible into this building with them, but they have never been transformed. They have never been saved. They have never been redeemed. They have never got under the spout where the blood comes out. I think of the people that I've pastored. I was religious, Dr. Belcher, and lost. I'd made a profession of faith at 8 years old. But it wasn't until I was 16 years old when the sweet Holy Ghost of God got a hold of me. When he began to draw me to Jesus Christ. When he wouldn't let me rest at night till I got it settled with Almighty God. Amen. Several years ago, my best friend in all of the world, his daughter passed away, 11 years old on Christmas morning. 11 years old. I never will forget that call, Dr. Belcher. I was out feeding some chickens and feeding some hogs, and me and her dad have a hunting lease together. And that morning we had talked, and he asked me if I was going hunting that evening. I said, nah, I got to go to my mom's. We're going to just spend time with the family. So about 1 p.m., he calls me, and I'm thinking, 1:30, I'm thinking he's asking me if I'm going again, and he's going to tell me what stand he's hunting. So I just rejected the call because I'm out busy about feeding animals. Then his wife's phone called me right after his, and I knew something was wrong. When I picked up the phone, I heard my best friend weeping, saying, my baby is gone, my baby is gone. Me and my wife loaded up and we headed over to that house, and to see that little 11-year-old girl just in her room on her bed, beautiful as all get out, but gone. And went to bed on Christmas Eve and never woke up Christmas morning. I thought that was going to kill him. I thought that was going to destroy him. But check out what God did. Oh, God's so good. We had that little girl's funeral. And I could see that daddy, my best friend, praising God through the storm. I could see him at that casket weeping with people and praying with people and telling people God's still good, Jesus still saves. 3 weeks after we buried that little girl, her mama, who had been a teacher in our Sunday school, her mama who had worked in King's Kids, her mama who grew up with me, her mama that went through Ben's Ford Baptist Church, her mama who had been dunked in a baptistry, her mama that was a worker in our church came to me and said, Brother Caleb, God has showed me something in my heart. I'm lost and on my road to hell. I'm lost. Had all the people in my church, I thought, man, that woman's saved. I saw her at a casket witnessing to people. I saw her at a casket telling people about Jesus. But something down deep in her soul was telling her, you'll never see your baby again unless you get right with me. And I never will forget the day she gave her life to Christ. The following Sunday, I said, Miss Tanya, would you share your testimony? She gets up and begins to testify of Jesus and how Jesus just saved her. And there was a girl in the front row that I grew up with. This was several years ago, so she was probably at that time about 35. Her name's Miss Allie Johnston. She is a worker. Her and her husband's over our King's Kids ministry. She's been in Ben's Ford Baptist Church. Her whole life was raised there. She teaches and subs in Sunday school. I mean, she does any work that we need to have done, we call Miss Allie. I can remember seeing the conviction on Miss Allie's face. And then as soon as we give the invitation, she hits the altar. And I remember somebody comes and gets me and says, you need to talk to Miss Allie. And we begin to talk, and she says, Brother Caleb, I'm not saved. God's not real to me. He's never lived inside of me. I realize it now that I'm on my road to hell. And this woman who had given her life to church work that day finally gave her heart to Jesus Christ. To Jesus. John chapter number 3, look at verse number 1. The Bible says this: there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I've said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh and whether it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Dear Heavenly Father, God, again, we ask you to bless the preaching of the Word of God today. May you use it for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. In verse number 1, the Bible says here, there was a man. There was a man. This man's name was Nicodemus. He was a man just like me and just like you. Nicodemus was a man that had a mother. He was a man that had a father. He is a man that had a childhood. I believe Nicodemus was probably a man that had a wife. If he had a wife, he might have children. And he was a man, flesh and blood, just like I'm standing before you today. This isn't a fairy tale. This was a real man. Oh, friend, and this was a religious man. The Bible says here in this particular passage of Scripture, the Bible tells us that he was a Pharisee. Not only was he a man, but he was a religious man. He was well acquainted with the law. He was well acquainted with prayer. He was well acquainted with church. He was well acquainted with the synagogue. He was well acquainted with the temple. He was well acquainted with the Scripture. He was well acquainted with worship. You see, there was a man named Nicodemus, and he was a religious man. We also see in our text tonight that he was a good man. I don't believe Nicodemus was a robber. I don't think he was a rapist. I don't think he was a murderer. I don't think he was a smuggler. I don't think he was somebody that tried to lie and cheat people. I believe Nicodemus was a good man. I believe Nicodemus had a good name in the community. I believe Nicodemus was a man, when somebody saw him coming, he would shake their hand. He would hug their neck. I believe Nicodemus probably had a good spirit about him. He, in the community, was known as a good man. The Bible says here that also Nicodemus, he was a powerful man. The Bible says he was a ruler. He was a ruler there in the synagogue. He is a man that had prestige. He had power, and he had people under him. He was a man of authority in the house of Almighty God. But we will also find out that this man, Nicodemus, was a sinful man. You see, he was just like me, and he was just like you. He was born into this world with a problem. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says, by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. You see, Nicodemus, he was a man. He was a religious man. He was a good man, but he was also a sinful man. He had a problem. He had a problem that he could not solve, and that problem was he was tainted, just like I was tainted and just like you were tainted. And if you're lost here today, just like you're currently tainted with the condition of sin. He was a sinner. Oh, Nicodemus not only was a sinful man, he was a confused man. All of his life, he had heard, he had been brought up in the teaching as a Pharisee. He had been brought up a lot like Paul, that you had to keep the law. He was brought up that you had to do good works to have favor with God. He was brought up that you have to keep the Sabbath day. You have to be circumcised. You have to offer these certain types of sacrifices. You have to pray this many hours a day. You have to quote this many passages of the Torah. He was brought up in a religion of good works. And then Jesus shows up. Then all of a sudden, John the Baptist is preaching on the banks of the Jordan River, and he's telling people, and everybody in Judea is listening to John the Baptist. And John the Baptist said, there's somebody that's coming after me whose shoes I'm not unworthy to unlatch. And then all of a sudden, one day, now John's down there baptizing in the Jordan, and he looks coming down a mountain, and he says, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And Jesus starts his ministry, and he begins to preach with power and with authority. The Bible says, not as the scribes. And he begins to tell them, you can't work your way into heaven. You can't be good enough to get into heaven. You're all sinners. If you're going to be saved, you've got to come through me, the Son of God. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no doubt Nicodemus had heard Jesus preach. No doubt Nicodemus had seen Jesus preach. And Nicodemus was confused. Nicodemus was convicted. Nicodemus said, man, I don't know what's right and I don't know what's wrong. He was confused. You know, I find out there's people in churches that are confused. They honestly think that church membership gets them into heaven. In Baptist churches, even though it's preached by your pastor and it's preached by me and my church, that that's not the way in. They think if they get dunked in water, then they're going to heaven. They think if they're good enough at church and they give enough, they're going to heaven. But that's not the way in, friend. The only way in is through the door. And the door is Jesus Christ. You got to come to Him. Jesus isn't a good way to heaven. Jesus isn't the greatest way to heaven. Jesus is the only way to heaven. We see number two, not only there was a man, but number two, we see this man had a need. Verse number two says this, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. No man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. This man has a need. If he did not have a need, then he would not be coming to Jesus at night. There was something burning down deep in his soul. He was religious, but something down deep in his soul wasn't right. I can remember when the Lord God of glory, when the sweet Holy Ghost of God got a hold of me. I can remember it. I can remember laying in my bed at night scared to death about going to hell. I can remember laying in my bed at night scared to death about dying. I can remember laying in my bed saying, Jesus, save me, Jesus, save me, Jesus, save me, Jesus, save me. I remember when the sweet Holy Ghost of God was convicting me of my sin and where I was headed if I died. I remember it. You see, this man, Nicodemus, he had a rupture that religion couldn't mend. He had a gaping hole that good works couldn't fill. He had a chasm that the church couldn't bridge. He had a desire that degrees could not quench. He had a need. We all have a need. We all have a need. We're all born into this world sinners. The Bible says, I don't remember exactly who it was, but it said, even in sin my mother did conceive me. We're sinners by nature. We're sinners by birth. We're sinners by choice. Because our great, 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 30 times great grandfather Adam sinned, we all have taken on his nature. We have all got his DNA. And because of Adam being a sinner, we became sinners. And we have a need. We are sinners. We have a need. We are sinners. We have a need. We are sinners. We are sinners. This sinful man, religious man, lost man, he heard Jesus preach. And thank God Jesus didn't preach as the scribes. But the Bible says he preached as one having authority. He had authority on him. And Nicodemus said, there's something different about that man. There's something great about that man. All of Nicodemus's co-workers are trying to destroy Jesus. They're trying to blaspheme Jesus. They're trying to kill Jesus. They are seeking out plans to harm Jesus. And the whole time Nicodemus is watching in the background saying, there's something different about that man. See, the Bible says there was a man. This man had a need. But according to verse number two, this man got to the right source. He says the same came to Jesus by night. By night. Why did Nicodemus come to Jesus by night? I'll tell you why he came. Because he was scared. He came to Jesus in the cover of darkness. Again, he was a member of the Pharisees. In that particular time in the world, in Jerusalem, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Sanhedrin court and the Herodians, they were kind of the religious, powerful, political people in Jerusalem. And they all hated Jesus. The crowds were flocking to Jesus. The people were bragging on Jesus. Jesus was healing people of their sickness. He was raising the dead. And the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, the Herodians, the high priest in this particular time, they were jealous of Jesus. So here's Nicodemus. Knowing that the message that he's hearing from Jesus sounds real, it sounds true, and there's a power on him that no man can deny. There's a touch from God on him that no man can deny. There's anointing on him that no man can deny. He's seen the miracles. He's heard the message. He's seen it all. Right. And so in the cover of darkness, Nicodemus sneaks out of his house. I've got a pretty wild imagination. So I think of Nicodemus leaving his house and his wife said, honey, where you going? Oh, we out of eggs and milk. I'm going to get some eggs and milk. Making excuses, not saying I'm going to see Jesus. I can see him walking down the street and he walks by the synagogue and he looks in the window of the synagogue just to see if any of his Pharisee buddies are in there. Maybe he sees a couple of them. So he crouches down and gets behind the bushes and he walks around the synagogue. He then begins to ask people, where's Jesus at? Do you know where Jesus is? And somebody says, man, ain't you one of the Pharisees? Ain't you one of the guys that works there in the synagogue? He says, no, that ain't me. That's not me. Do you know where Jesus is? And they said, yeah, man, he was just down the road just a few moments ago. And Nicodemus takes the cover of night to get to Jesus. He takes the cover of darkness. He is scared of what others may think. Do you know why there's so many people today that won't come to Jesus? Do you know why there's even lost church members that won't come to Jesus? Because they are scared what others may think. But this man got to the right source. He got to the right source. He came to Jesus. Some will criticize him because he came at the cover of night, but it doesn't matter. He came to Jesus. Some will scoff at him because he seems scared, but it doesn't matter. He came to Jesus. Others will laugh at him because he recognized Jesus as Lord, but that doesn't matter. He came to Jesus. Tonight, if you're here and you've never fully trusted Jesus Christ as Lord of your life, if there's something down deep in your soul that you know that it's not right. Hey, don't let anybody hold you back from getting to God. Just come to Jesus. Just come to Jesus. Just come to Jesus. Amen. That day Nicodemus talked to the Son of God. That day Nicodemus looked at the Son of Man. That day Nicodemus beheld the great high priest. That day Nicodemus met the way. He met the truth and he met the life. You see, a man with a need got to the right source. Lost person, there's only one source you can get to, and his name is Jesus. Amen. Listen to me, teenagers. Do you know Jesus is your personal Savior? Thrills my soul to see a section full of teenagers up there. Glory. Stay faithful, guys. Amen. But I got a question for you. Have you ever trusted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? Have you ever fully surrendered to Him, submitted to Him? Ask Jesus to save you from your sins and come into your heart. I hope you have. Greatest decision you'll ever make. I've made some bad decisions in my life and I've made some good decisions in my life. I married a woman. Sometimes she thinks it's a bad decision, but I always think it's a good decision that we made. I'm thankful for that. But that pales in comparison to the decision that I made at Ben's Ford Christian School Gymnasium as a junior in high school when I gave my life to Christ. You see, Nicodemus begins to ask some questions. He gets to the right source, and now he begins to ask some questions. My friend, when you ask questions to the right source, you will get the right answers. This man, the Bible says in verse 1, there was a man. This man got the right message. Look at verse 3. The Bible says this. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven, a kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how could a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Amen. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. He got the right message. What was the message that this man received by the mouth of the right source, Jesus Christ? This right message given to this man by the right source was a message of a new birth. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, thinking very literal here, said, Jesus, how in the world can I go back into my mother's womb? I'm a grown man. I mean, just think of me right here. I'm 6 foot tall, 230 pounds, and my mother's about 5 foot four, about 125 pounds. I'm thinking like Nicodemus is, there's no way that I can go back into my mother's womb and be born again. He doesn't see it. But Jesus explains it to him in great detail. He says, there's a water birth. And there's a spirit birth. You see, the first birth is a fleshly birth. Around a womb of a woman, there is what is called an amniotic fluid sac. that when that baby comes to term, that amniotic fluid sac ruptures. It burst. They call it breaking the water. Matter of fact, we had a lady in church one Sunday morning. Her water broke during service. What an experience. What an experience. You had some people running away. You had some people running to help. I didn't know what was going on. But that amniotic sac, when that baby is in full term, that sac will burst and water will gush forth. And when that water gushes forth, that baby is coming, whether you like it or not. Jesus tells Nicodemus, hey, your first birth was a water birth. It was a natural birth. But the way you got into this world, the way you came into this world was by a water birth. But if you're going to go into the kingdom of heaven, you got to have a different birth. It can't be of water. It's got to be of the Spirit. See, the spiritual birth is the blood of Jesus is applied and the Holy Spirit seals the soul. For a man, for a woman, for a boy or girl to enter into the world, the earthly world, they're born of water. Jesus breaks it down a little bit further here when he makes this statement. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. He distinguishes the two between water and flesh and spirit and spirit. For you to be born into a heavenly world, you got to have a new birth. You got to have a spiritual birth. Amen. I've heard it said like this, if you've only been born once, you die twice. If you've only been born once, if you only have the physical birth, if you only have, and listen, all of us, there's no doubt we've all had the fleshly birth. We're here, right? If you've only been born once, you die twice. You'll close your eyes in death in this life. And then the Bible says in Revelation chapter 20, those who were not found written in the Lamb's book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. You've got one birth, you die twice. But can I give you some good news tonight? If you've been born twice, you only die once. If you have this new birth, if you've trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the only death that will ever come your way is when you close your eyes in death on this side, and it won't be that bad. Can I testify to you a little bit? The Bible says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. There's rejoicing going on in glory when a saint of God dies. If you've been born twice, you've only got to die once. Yeah. Only once. As I said, there's a lot of evidence, overwhelming evidence tonight that we've all been born once. But is there any evidence in your life that you've been born twice? Any evidence? Dr. Belcher, they tell me that I was born in Bogalusa, Louisiana, June the 7th, 1985, Bogalusa Medical Hospital. They told me I was born to parents, Lynn and Connie Martin. I was there when it happened, but I don't remember it. Strange. My sister said I was beautiful. My brother said I was ugly. My mama said I was 10 pounds, 4 ounces, 23 and a half inches long. Bless her heart. Bless her heart. Let's pray for that woman. No wonder she's had back surgery and knee surgeries and all of that. They tell me I was 23 and a half inches. I don't know, though. I was there, but I don't remember it. They tell me that I was born to Lynn and Connie Martin. I was there, but I don't remember anything about my first birth. They tell me I was born at Bogalusa Medical Center on June 7th, 1985. I was there, but I don't remember it. But can I tell you this? I can't forget my second birth. Amen. Hey, I was there, praise the Lord, when the sweet Holy Ghost of God got a hold of me. I was there that day when I went to the altar and I fell down before the living God of glory and I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. I was there for the first time by faith. I believe the promises of this book. I will never forget the day of my second birth. Amen. I was there too, but I won't forget it. Yep. I'll tell you what happened. Check this out. Can I just, it's my last night. I went down and sang with my dad. Brother Roger Miller had just preached a message. It was our spring revival at the school Thursday morning. He had been preaching. All he knows how to preach on is hell. That's all he knew how to preach. And he preached hell Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Finally on Thursday, he gets started, man. And you think I preach loud and you think I don't take a breath, you ought to hear this man preach. And he closes his eyes when he preached. So every time he gets close to the stage, everybody gasps, you know, the end of the stage. I can remember when he started preaching. Sweet Holy Ghost of God convicted me again. And I can remember telling the Lord, if he'll just, when he shuts up, I'm going to give my life to you. And I went down to my dad. And I got my dad. And I said, Dad, I need to be saved. He said, praise the Lord, son. I've been praying for you. Amen. I said, Dad, how can I be saved? He said, Caleb, do you know what this, do you believe this book? I said, yes, sir. He said, what does John 3:16 say? I said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He said, do you believe that? Yeah. That God sent Jesus for you to die for you so you could have everlasting life. I said, Dad, I believe that. He said, you believe Romans 3:23? And I quoted it to him, yeah. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Caleb, you realize you're a sinner? I said, yes, sir. He said, you know what Romans 6:23 says? I said, yes, sir, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you realize, Caleb, because you're a sinner, you're going to die. But God offers you a gift today of salvation that you can receive or reject. Do you believe that? I said, yeah. He says, you know what Romans 10:9-10 says? I said, yes, sir. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God is raising from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You believe that? That today you confess Jesus as Lord. You receive that inside of you. You believe Jesus can save you today? I believe it, Dad. He said, do you believe Romans 10:13? I said, yes, sir. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said, so you believe this book? Do you believe this is the Word of God? Yes, I do, Dad. He threw his Bible down. He said, you really believe that book? I said, Dad, I believe it. He said, then just stand on it. Put all of Caleb on the promises of this book. All those verses you just quoted me, just put all of you on that. And God will not cast you out. And the first time in my life, I realized it wasn't about a prayer I prayed. It was about me just giving Christ my all. Amen. Submitting myself to Him and saying, Lord, if I'm going to heaven, it's because of You. So, Lord, I'm giving You everything. Jesus, save my wretched soul. I remember it like it was yesterday. I was at my first birth, but I can't remember it. I was at my second birth, and I remember all of it. Amen. Question, friend, have you ever been born again? With one birth, man can gain many friends, but one birth is not enough. With one birth, man can attain high degrees, but one birth is not enough. With one birth, a man can accumulate great wealth, but one birth is not enough. With one birth, man can accomplish great deeds, but one birth is not enough. You must be born again. Amen. This man got the right message when he got to the right source. It was also a message of a universal call. Look what Jesus tells him. Look at it. Let me get back over to my text. John chapter number 3. Look at verse 14. Look at what Jesus tells Nicodemus. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Jesus looks at Nicodemus and said, Nicodemus, you a Pharisee, right? Yeah. You know Moses, huh? Oh, I know all the works of Moses. I've memorized the Pentateuch. I can quote you Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, Deuteronomy. So do you remember over in Exodus, you remember this little story about how all the children of Israel were murmuring and complaining against God? God got sick of it, so God sent serpents out, fiery serpents, into the camp. And all these fiery serpents latched on to the people in Israel. And then all of a sudden they begin to have fever and they begin to hurt and the pain is so excruciating they begin to think they're dying and they run to Moses and they begin to repent to God and say, Moses, please go to God, please go to God. We're all going to die. These fiery serpents has bit us and we're all going to die, Moses. Please talk to God for us. Moses talks to God. And God tells Moses, Moses, make a brazen serpent. Put it on a pole and lift it up. And whoever's bit by the fiery serpent, when they look on the brazen serpent, shall live. Nicodemus said, I'm very familiar with that story. Jesus, I've learned that since I was a child. Jesus says, Nicodemus, I am the living type and picture of that story. You see, the whole world's been bitten by the serpent of sin. You're all going to die. You're all going to die, Nicodemus. Sin is coursing through your veins right now, and it has corrupted your bloodstream, and you're going to die. But here in a few days, I'm going to be lifted up on a cross. I'm going to be lifted up on a cross. I'm going to become sin. You see what? This is good. What the children of Israel had to look on is the thing that bit them. When Jesus was on that cross, He became sin. He who knew no sin became sin. He took up on Him the sins of the world. So as Jesus is hanging on that cross, sinners look up at a man who's becoming sin for them so that they may be made the righteousness of God in Him. He says, Nicodemus, that was a type and a picture and a foreshadowing of what I've come to do. You've been bit by sin, and I've came to pay for that sin. And if you will look to me, Nicodemus, you can live. You can live. Oh, friend, it was a call for all. Jesus died for every man, every boy, every girl that's ever lived. Doesn't matter color, does not matter country, does not matter creed, does not matter class of society. If you have been born into this world, into the race of mankind, Jesus died for you. I don't like what the frozen chosen say, the Calvinists say. They say, oh, there's a select few that's going to heaven. I don't find that in Scripture. I see that Jesus loved the world. I find where the Bible says He became the propitiation for our sins, and He's writing to the church. He became the propitiation for our sins, the atonement, the covering for our sins, but not for our sins only, for the sins of the whole world. Hey, listen to me, lost person. Jesus died for you. It is a universal call. If the world's biggest problem was a political problem, God would have sent a politician. If the world's biggest problem was a scientific problem, God would have sent a scientist. If the world's biggest problem was a medical problem, God would have sent a physician. If the world's biggest problem was a humanitarian problem, God would have sent a human rights workers. But the world's biggest problem was a sin problem. So God sent the Savior. So that we could have a new birth. In closing, in conclusion, the Bible says there was a man. I'm looking at man. Men, women, mankind. You're a man. You're a woman. You have a need. You're a sinner. You have a need. My question is this: have you ever been to the right source? Have you ever received the right message? Have you ever been born again? Amen. If not, tonight you can give your heart and your life to Christ, and you can proudly say, I've been born again. Amen. In just a moment, I'm going to extend an invitation. Jesus is the one that gives the invitation. He gave the invitation. Whosoever will, let him come. He gave the invitation. I'm just going to extend it. Why don't you step out of your pew? Don't be scared. Don't be like Nicodemus. Don't worry about what other people in your youth group's going to think. Don't worry if you made a profession of faith years ago, but yet there's never been any fruits in your life. And I know I'm preaching to a revival crowd, but the Bible says this. The Bible says we can know, if you ever read 1 John, that we can know that we have passed from death to life. The Bible says examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. Amen. Examine yourself to see if you're there, because it's that important. Jesus had 12 disciples that walked with Him for 3 years. Every step He walked, and one of them was the devil. Ming tells me, church people can be lost people too. The question now emerges, how in the world did Nicodemus respond to the message? Did Nicodemus receive and accept the message of Jesus? Well, let's just see what the Bible says. Flip over to John chapter number 19. Jesus in John chapter 19 has been crucified. He has given up the ghost. The sins of the world have been placed upon Him. He has died drinking the cup of God's wrath. He has became sin for us. He has finally bowed His head, told His Father, "It is finished," and He gave up the Spirit. By the way, let me throw you this little nugget that's good. They didn't kill Jesus. He gave up the Spirit. Can't kill God. Jesus, for me and you, literally gave it up. Listen to this. He's now dead. Verse number 38 says this, "And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate, saying that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus, and there came also," who? "Nicodemus, which at first came to Jesus by night." He's no longer there at night. He's now there making a public profession before all. "I don't care if the Pharisees see me. I don't care if the high priest sees me. I don't care if my wife sees me. I'm going to the cross. I'm getting Jesus off the cross." He's no longer ashamed. "Which at first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and alloys, about 100-pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus and wounded in linen clothes, with the spices, as the manner of Jews is to bury. Now in the place he was crucified, there was a garden. In the garden, a new sepulcher where no man had yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulcher was nigh at hand." What happened between John chapter 3 and this passage in the latter part of John? I tell you what happened. Nicodemus got born again. That day at the cross, he made that public profession. He had probably done it privately in John chapter number 3. But now he's making it public before all. "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." And it's him and Joseph of Arimathea, just two men. Not the disciples. Not the women that followed Jesus. Not the people that Jesus had healed. It wasn't the lepers. It wasn't the paraplegic man. It wasn't the woman with the issue of blood. It wasn't Jairus, whose daughter was raised. No, it was Joseph. And it was Nicodemus. And here's how they had to take him off. One man had to get some type of stepladder while the other man waited at the feet of Jesus. One man pried the nails from his hands while the other man caught him as he came to the ground. The Bible says they had to prepare him. Look what it says. Verse 40, "They took the body of Jesus and wounded in linen clothes with spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury." Go look up a Jewish burial. Before they could bury him, they had to get everything that had pierced his skin out of his body. He could not go into the grave with any foreign objects in his body. So Nicodemus had to lean over and literally had to pry the crown of thorns out of his head. And Nicodemus had to literally, little bit by little bit, take out from his back, haul the splinters from the cross. Little bit by little bit, they begin to wipe the wounds where he had been beaten unmercifully, where he's not even recognizable as a man, begin to wipe his wounds with cloth. I can see Nicodemus that day as he's standing at the foot of the cross and Joseph is prying the nails, and he looks up and he says, "That's what Jesus was talking about when he says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And if I'm lifted up, I'll draw men unto Him." Nicodemus is saying, "Thank you, Jesus, for being lifted up for me." Nicodemus that night pulled everything, every splinter, every thorn, wiped every womb of Jesus to make sure he was properly buried. Yes, Nicodemus was born again. The question tonight is, have you been born again? If not, why not? Let's all stand to our feet, every head bowed, every eye closed. I don't know your heart. I'm not getting you to pray a prayer. That's not what I'm doing. But every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're in here tonight and you know without a shadow of a doubt that if death comes or rapture comes, you're going to heaven because you've been redeemed not of corruptible things such as silver and gold, but by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know you're born again. You know you're going to heaven. I mean, you're heaven bound with a hammer down. Raise your hand. Hands all over. Real quick, you can put them down. If you could not raise your hand, listen to me, listen to this preacher. If you could not raise your hand, and there's several that didn't, you've got a big problem. You've got a really big problem. You better get born again. Tonight could be the night of salvation. Tonight you could be born again. Don't let anybody hold you back. You step out by faith and come to Jesus, Doc.